Jones.
Good morning. My name is Bill Jones from Madison, Wisconsin. May it please the court, I represent the appellant, Mr. De Horta Garcia. Your Honors, the motivation for bringing this appeal was really found buried pretty deep in hundreds and hundreds of pages of discovery. I came across the 1998 original illegal reentry case for Mr. De Horta Garcia, where he collaterally challenged the deportation in an Alaska case on the same grounds that he brings it in this case. It was originally granted, his collateral attack on the deportation order. However, after a motion by the government then to reconsider, the district judge, Judge Holland in the District of Alaska, concluded that there was a difference among the circuits in that law and stated, it is in the view of this court that the First Circuit and Ninth Circuit have significantly different views whether amendments affecting the availability of discretionary relief from deportation are or are not impermissibly retroactive. Then Mr. De Horta Garcia filed a motion to reconsider that reconsideration, citing the Hughes aircraft case. The court denied his request but ended by stating, the court invites the defendant to place this matter before the Ninth Circuit of Appeals for its evaluation, after referring to that Hughes aircraft Supreme Court case. I guess it's that invitation that was issued in the circuit court or the District Court of Alaska that is now being answered after his second illegal reentry case.
Well, how do you respond to the government's argument that because Mr. Horta Garcia didn't appeal the immigration judge's denial of his motion to reopen in 1998, he didn't exhaust his administrative remedies, and therefore he cannot collaterally attack the deportation order?
Well, I would say that, you know, you can't collaterally attack it in the, you know, he couldn't bring that up again under that case, but this is a new case, and I think a new opportunity to suppress that deportation
order. Unfortunately, he's not able to appeal to the Ninth Circuit from here.
I agree. And I don't know why it wasn't done then, but I couldn't ignore that, like I say, that invitation.
I agree. Accepting the invitation.
So, as I mentioned, you know, pursuant to Hughes Aircraft, there's a presumption against retroactive application of the change in the law. And I think that's what the Court of Alaska was really driving at in its encouragement to bring an appeal. And, you know, also the aforementioned inconsistencies, at least, that it found between the First and the Ninth Circuit. Of course, I've conceded, you know, in the brief that Laguerre is basically inescapable in this circuit for Mr. De Horta Garcia, unless the court had some interest in reconsidering its position, or at least the dicta near the end where it says it would be absurd to suggest that an immigrant would rely on a chance of a discretionary review before committing a deportable offense.
But Mr. Jones, that's a very big problem because you have in the brief at any rate asked us to reconsider Laguerre, but you haven't set forth an argument in your briefs on that point. And we don't allow litigants to incorporate by reference arguments that were not made. And why shouldn't we deem that argument forfeited, if not waived?
Well, Your Honor, I suppose it's brief, but I do refer to enough, I think, legal argument to carry it through. The court rules require attaching every motion, order, reply brief, etc., in the appendix. It's the identical argument. I suppose if the court is suggesting I should have cut and pasted the exact argument as the government did.
We don't cut and paste. We make our arguments.
The argument
I'm certainly not suggesting you should have cut and pasted. I'm suggesting that you should have argued it.
Well, the argument is made, I think, sufficiently to allow the court to consider it. And as far as the Laguerre issue, as I conceded, this is really preserving the issue for perhaps the Supreme Court, because the Seventh Circuit has been pretty clear that reliance is required in assessing retroactivity, and it is also, I guess the court has said, absurd to suggest that an immigrant would be, to suggest that an immigrant's relying, but I disagree with that assertion. And I do reference the Jidanwo ruling in the Seventh Circuit, which does comment on the success rate in those discretionary review hearings. And also the argument that is provided in the Third Circuit on the Panapula v. Ashcroft case, which indicates that there is no Supreme Court ruling that suggests reliance is a key element. And lastly, as I argued, the reliance issue is present if it is necessary, and that is in that 50% of the people at the time that Mr. Horta Garcia committed his crime in Alaska that resulted in him being deported, 50% of the people who did do the discretionary hearings were given relief and were allowed to stay in the country. I think that, you know, based upon that, one could make a fair argument.
Alaska's looking for more residents.
Well, if that's...
I understand.
I see the logic. I don't know why they would be. And I suppose
it's cold. They're trying to huddle up and stay warm.
That is certainly a possibility. But I have nothing further unless the court has more questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Reiner?
Good morning. David Reinhardt for the United States from the Western District of Wisconsin. As stated by counsel, this court's precedent in Laguerre does foreclose this defendant's argument. The defendant, as mentioned by Judge Rovner, has not put forth any compelling reasons why this court should set aside that established precedent. The defendant also hasn't established that this particular case falls under the narrow exception to retroactive application. I mean, this defendant pled guilty after the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act was effected. And also, this defendant has not established that he pled guilty in reliance on discretionary relief. So this isn't a case where the defendant was mousetrapped or the rug was pulled out from under him at the time he pled guilty. If there aren't any further questions, I would ask this court to affirm the district court.
I have a question. Assuming that we reach the merits of Mr. Horta Garcia's attack on the deportation order, why is it necessary for him to show actual detrimental reliance on the availability of 212C relief at the time he committed his crime? Pleaded guilty when the law changes and attaches new adverse legal consequences to someone's criminal act, for example, why isn't that in and of itself enough? Why insist on showing reliance?
Well, I think it's the Jidwano case, which said there's this narrow, limited exception that if in fact you've pled guilty before ADEPA was enacted, and that you showed detrimental reliance, that you would be entitled to this sort of relief. I think that's why the court in that particular case was concerned about pulling the rug out from under an individual. But in this case, we have completely different facts. He pled guilty after the statute was enacted.
Now's your chance.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan.
Thank you.
Mr. Jones?
I have no rebuttal.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. Mr. Jones, you took this case by appointment at the court.
Yes.
We wish to thank you for your diligent representation of your client and your help in this matter. Thank you very much. Yes.